Jonas Brothers, What a Man Gotta Do on MKFM. Good evening. It's Leah with you for another MK Mental Health Hour. Tonight, we're going to be talking all about news and media and the effect that it can have on your mental health. And as always, we're joined by John from Arthrellis Mental Health Support. Hello, John.
Hello, good evening.
Lovely to have you with us. We're also joined in the studio by Rochelle White from Rochelle White Agency. Hello, Rochelle.
Hello.
Hello. So we're going to be speaking to you very shortly, Rochelle. But firstly, John, if people haven't heard about the work you do at Arthrellis, can you give us a bit of an insight?
Yeah, well, we're building a one-to-one children's service to provide them with mental health, emotional support. And we do that through a variety of different business streams. So whether it's training with corporates or sponsorship. So yeah, we've been doing it for a few years now, and we've got a really good team here in Milton Keynes.
And I actually saw you were doing something very exciting. You were being filmed for the actual telly the other day.
The actual telly?
The actual telly.
It was really last minute, but it was Channel 5 doing a documentary, and we were asked to deliver a mental health session as part of the documentary. So it was a full session. It was probably about 5 hours worth of filming, which probably, if it makes the cut, they'll use like 20 seconds, 30 seconds.
Maybe.
But it was... It was a nice evening. It was only in Stony Stratford as well. It was really weird.
Very handy. Yeah, very handy. So do you know when we can see that on the telly?
The last filming day is the 8th of March, but I'm not too sure how long it's going to take to edit it and actually release.
Okay, so, well, you have to keep us up to date.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'll let you guys know.
So we're going to be talking this evening about the news and media and kind of the impact that that can have on people's mental health.
Yeah.
We are joined in the studio by Rochelle from Rochelle White Agency. Lovely to have you with us, Rochelle. So how are we going to be discussing the show this evening, John?
So obviously over the last week or so, there's been a horrendous event with Caroline Flack. And we wanted to really help people or discuss a couple of the issues that that presents, or some of the things that she might have been going through, some of the other scenarios that we've seen that have been related to news, media, even how businesses can report on things. Not necessarily looking at sort of slating the media, we don't want to do that, but having a look as to how they generate these stories, but then bearing in mind us as people, we might be also contributing to things because everything has a share button now.
Yes.
So really dissecting what might be going on behind the scenes of all of that, which is where Rochelle comes in, and she's an expert in all things PR, media, all of
marketing,
this stuff.
Marketing, celebrity.
Yeah.
So what do you deal with at the agency? A bit of a mixture of everything.
So we do represent... some influential people in the public eye, but we do specialise more in marketing and PR for brands and basically help them tell their stories. So we are a full creative agency, but we do specialise in brand and marketing development. Our strong points is helping people build their brand story and their brand narrative, but obviously in a positive and in a way that represents them.
So you do it quite sensitively. And I suppose you've got a real insight then into the topic we're going to be discussing this evening.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be delving into it and speaking about some recent examples after Black Eyed Peas now. This is Where Is The Love on MKFM. Sounding very nice for your Sunday evening. It's Black Eyed Peas and Where Is The Love on MKFM. So this is the MK Mental Health Hour. Tonight we're talking all about the news, media and mental health. We're going to be talking a little bit about kind of scenarios and examples that people would be able to relate to and maybe will have seen within the media over the last few years. But I suppose it's important, John, to kind of establish the media's role within our society and our world and the fact that it is a business.
And there's so many types of media now as well. So it's not just newspapers, it's also newspapers now have websites, mm-hmm. so all of it's online. You've got the different social media channels, but then you've got YouTube, and we were talking while the song was on that YouTuber is now actually a job title in the world.
So
everyone is looking at sort of competing over getting their story seen the first, or getting that story the first, getting clicks on their website or whatever channel they have. So in relation to the sort of generation that we're now living in, or society we're now living in, everyone's competing over these stories, and they need to make it interesting in order to be the first that get it, or the first that has the most views or anything like that.
And Rochelle, you must have seen it within your agency. You're in PR, and the way that kind of stories can change and opinions can really conflict sometimes and contradict. Yeah. And probably the most recent example of that might be Harry and Meghan.
Yeah, the media. I mean, I love the media, and at the same time, they're very good at, no matter who it is, they can build someone up and also they can sort of knock them down. And sadly, I feel like that happens with a lot of people across the board. But more recently, we have seen it with Harry and Meghan. It was like Meghan was the best thing that had happened to Harry. Mm. And it's like as soon as they got married, it's like the backlash then started, which is really sad.
Yeah.
But I don't know why the media do it. And again, it's always like it can be the same journalists or sometimes the same publications that will have conflicting stories. A lot of the time, I think John's right. It's down to who's got the story first, who clicks it first, if they've got, you know, an exclusivity story. It all kind of works in that same way. But I don't necessarily feel like that's great for anyone's mental well-being.
No.
It's a very hard place to be.
And actually, things can develop then, John. And in recent years, we've seen that happen with Avicii.
Yeah, well, there was a really good documentary about Avicii. I believe, I'm not going to say who it was done by because I can't quite remember. So it's probably wrong to guide anyone to anywhere in particular. But Avicii, it was kind of a documentary following his life. And this was only in the public eye, really, after he'd taken his own life.
Mm.
So this is an example of something that wasn't necessarily publicised as much as the Harry and Meghan stuff or the Caroline Flack stuff. But it was happening behind scenes. And in this documentary, it kind of shows how members of the team that he worked in, he really, really had issues with anxiety. And I don't know, I think he was receiving some support from it, but not really a massive input. And he really didn't want to do these shows, and he was being pushed to do these public shows when he wanted to be in the background making music. And every time he would begin to experience all the symptoms of anxiety, and to cope with those, he would drink more. So he started getting an issue with alcohol and different drugs. But his team were kind of like, well, are we going to cancel these shows and let down all the fans? Mm. Are we going to stop all of this? And it relates back to money and all of this
and
of
actually
stuff.
It becomes less about the individual as a person and more about them being a
you
brand
are
and
a
business.
It's a business entity at the end of the day, so they kind of do that whole thing of, well, you know, we can cancel, but you really need to think about potentially the fans, the people you're letting down, and the livelihoods,
all the content we can get from it, all of that sort of stuff. And that's the society that we're building. So it's but it has a massive impact on the individual, like we saw with Caroline Flack as well.
Yeah, and absolutely. We heard the tragic news last week about Caroline taking her own life. And it's been quite, I mean, it's interesting, the wrong word, but seeing the different kind of reports on Caroline, you know, last year she was an MBE, you were saying, and it was reported in such a positive light, and then this year totally different.
Yeah, sadly, even when she had her, when she was awarded her MBE, some publications even made comments sort of like, you know, why does she have it? Why does she deserve it? Where others, again, were very supportive. And I feel like, again, with this whole situation, and I think some people have probably seen on social media, people have compared the same newspaper sort of knocking her down and then building her up. So
I saw something.
Did you see that?
I think it was at the beginning of this week. It was exactly the same journalist, like 6 months apart.
Yeah.
And one was a tweet from 6 months ago and one was a tweet from earlier on this week, and one was completely slating and the other one was really praising and all of this sort of stuff. So we really need to consider what we're putting out there.
Absolutely. Oh, and it has a huge impact kind of behind the scenes on individuals. We're going to be talking more about that after Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding. Outside plays next.
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group.
MKFM.
Calvin Harris, Ellie Goulding outside on MKFM. Good evening. It's Leah with you for another MK Mental Health Hour. Tonight, we're talking all about the news, media and mental health. And we're joined in the studio by John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Rochelle from Rochelle White Agency. So we've kind of established the role of the news and the media and some recent examples of kind of the impact that can have on individuals such as Caroline Flack and Avicii and Harry and Meghan to a certain extent as well. But it's really important to identify that it's not just one story that we might just read on kind of the off chance, is it, Rochelle? It kind of goes everywhere.
It can literally potentially go everywhere. We're in an age where we are constantly sharing and everyone is constantly sharing. So, for example, with the Caroline Flack, that did actually get picked up by an American news story over there as well. Gosh. So it can have an impact everywhere. It's also, we might read one story, another paper or magazine might write another story with not necessarily the same context, and the next thing you know, it's on social media. Then you have people, individuals, that are then also retweeting, resharing, inboxing, commenting. So it's not one isolated thing, it's like a huge snowball effect that I think, unfortunately, it doesn't actually stop. It's a continuous thing.
So if you do have an article or something that about a celebrity that mm-hmm. you know, an agency would want to share, where would you actually send that to? Because I can't imagine you just send it to one newspaper or something.
It always depends on how a journalist likes to work. So if it is a positive, exclusive story, majority of the time you'd pitch it to the one publication you'd want it to go in first. So then they have that exclusivity. And then what tends to happen is if that gets picked up, other news outlets could potentially come to you and go, oh, we've seen that you've published this story, can we have it? You could potentially send the same or similar story, but effectively, even if we write something or if anyone writes something, it's in the journalist's hands and then it's in the editor's hands. So you could literally write something, it could get changed by the journalist, it could then get changed by the editor. Gosh. So the final product is not always what you've actually written or sent.
It's like Chinese whispers.
Mm. Yeah, so it will have elements. I mean, it's not all the time, but in certain cases, there are certain things where people might go, oh, that's slightly wrong, or they might have embellished like an amount, they say if it's an amount of money or how much someone's worth, for example. Mm. They can sometimes say, you know, I'm actually worth 2 million, but then next thing you know, it could jump up to 5.5 because it makes it sound better. So if it says, this publication said, I'm worth 2.5 mil, and another one's going 5.5, then everyone's going, oh, so what are you really worth? It's got to be the 5.5, and then it could go up again.
And ultimately, we've established that people just want those kind of clickbaity headlines that kind of sells and yeah. makes them money. But John, the serious side of this is that if somebody on the other end of it is receiving all of these messages and is being bombarded by all these stories that maybe aren't accurate totally, that then has a huge impact on their mental health.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if anyone has ever had one of those days where you've just got loads and loads of messages and you don't really feel like replying to them. I have days like that where I've just got messages, or maybe even weeks like that, where I've got messages in my inbox that I haven't got round to replying to just yet. I'll get round to it eventually, but there's other things going on. And
Life is busy.
But imagine then if you have hundreds of thousands of followers or people messaging you, and not necessarily just through one inbox, but through all of your social media channels. So you've got an inbox on Twitter, you've got an inbox on Instagram, Facebook, different messages that you'll be getting about from different people. So if we are sending those kind of messages and someone has just seen all of these different publications which have been out in writing, so about you, maybe 20 different newspapers that have written a different version each of this story that's been picked up, and then all of a sudden you're seeing all of these different shares, you're getting tagged in everything, you're getting inboxed by loads of people that you don't know who will have a comment on it. Are we adding fuel to that fire ourselves if we do feel like we need to share it or tag someone or
it must be so overwhelming for that individual, like you say, to have all of those messages kind of bombarding them from every angle.
They get taken completely out of control out of it. And especially in the case of Caroline Flack, with all of that going on, stemming from a picture just of her and her boyfriend in the street. There was quite a lot that was going on with her at the time as well that has now come out as a result of all of this. So she described it in a note that was unpublished at the time, that she was actually going through a breakdown. So that image had been, just like what we were saying, had been completely kind of taken out of context and adapted and manipulated slightly by everybody that had picked it up, not necessarily just the news or the media, but all the individuals on these social media platforms. So from her, she's completely out of control. She'll be under an awful lot of stress. Her anxiety will be through the roof. And that eventually has a massive impact and starts having a massive impact on your mood, the different coping strategies you can tap into, and all of the behaviours you exhibit as a result.
And Rochelle, we were just chatting actually during that song about the fact that her publicist was probably telling her what she can and can't say as well, whether she can't defend herself, and she had to kind of go off social media for a little while as well.
Yeah, sometimes when things like this happen, they take the precaution of telling anyone in the public eye, and it does really depend on the situation and who their agent or who their management team are. They'll probably say, you know, don't say anything, let's go off social media, don't comment on anything and keep it quite private. But as you guys have said, if you're taken out of that control, so you don't have a voice, and yet you're still being bombarded with comments and messages and retweets and all this stuff from hundreds or thousands of people, as you said, John, it must be the most frustrating thing and the hardest thing to deal with, because you don't have an outlet. You don't have a voice, effectively. You're kind of sitting there kind of going, oh, okay, all these people are saying everything. They don't know me. They don't know my situation, and they don't know the real story. So now I don't have a voice. So that power is taken away. And I feel like sometimes that's a real shame. Sometimes managements and publicists should work with clients, or even if it's a brand, work with them to help get their message out.
And there's actually a mental health assessment called the Beck Inventory, which is designed by the guy that developed cognitive behavioural therapy.
Right.
So Beck, and he's got an assessment which looks at depression, anxiety and hopelessness. So if someone has high depression and anxiety, if you throw hopelessness into a high depression score, then that basically means that person's under a huge amount of risk. So if you take away the ability to comment or defend yourself or anything like that, imagine what that does to, effectively, in an assessment sense, a hopelessness score. So those things would have been through the roof for her without any way to defend herself.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to look at the kind of further impacts that it can have on an individual after Montel Jordan. This is How We Do It on MKFM.
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group. MKFM.
Montel Jordan, this is How We Do It on MKFM. This MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about the news, media and mental health. We've been talking about kind of the various ways that celebrities and people in the public eye might get kind of bombarded with various different stories and things like that. And we started touching on the impact that that might have on an individual. Now, John, we did mention about hopelessness, but there are kind of other ways that it might affect somebody, isn't there?
Yeah. So hopelessness was based off of the Beck Inventory. So basically, when you have a mental health assessment with a specialist or with a practitioner, they tend to do a variety of different assessments, and there's loads of standardized ones that are available for people to use. So if somebody fills out one of these questionnaires, if the levels of depression are high and the levels of hopelessness, then it poses quite a lot of risk to that individual. So they would probably need a risk assessment. You know, do you live alone? Do you work? What is your day-to-day life like? Like, who's around you that can look out for you, essentially?
Right.
So in the case of a celebrity, or we've been discussing Caroline Flack, she's been told by publicists not to reach out, not to defend herself or anything like that. So you can, obviously we're just speculating, so we don't actually know until more comes out later on. But you can imagine from a personal point of view that you're quite hopeless in that situation. Mm. There's not really an awful lot that you can do or defend yourself, which puts a lot of stress on you. So if your mood's being affected anyway, you've got a low mood, your motivation's probably down. You're under an awful lot of stress by all of these things going out around you. Stress fuels anxiety. So I think it's around 60% of anxiety issues are stemmed from stress. So with anxiety, the typical symptoms that you see are kind of like paranoia or that overthinking. So I can imagine, Rochelle, if there are,
because well, there would have been, I was literally just going to say that probably as well, she probably had a lot of that. And if the media was, say, placed outside her home often, because in some cases, like especially as we see in America with certain celebrities, I don't want to say they don't hound them, but they'll follow them or they'll be outside or near where they live. So to then have all of that and then have that those feelings and then constantly feel like, am I being watched? Are they photographing me if I look out the window? Are they going to knock on my door? Are they going to knock on my door at any time of day or night.
Yeah.
That probably doesn't help her situation at all. So she probably felt like a bit of a prisoner within her own thoughts, feelings, and maybe home. I don't know. I can only, you know,
It would make sense, because we were talking as well, like, if we have a scenario where we're sat at home, really cozy of an evening, and then all of a sudden the doorbell goes, at 10 o'clock at night, you will have that kind of, drop, you know, a drop in your heart. Yeah, like, kind of feeling
that?
In your stomach.
Who's at my door?
And that can be a really good example of, if you have a high level of anxiety, that spread over a long period of time is kind of like the physical aspects of anxiety that can start to kick in. And we learned from with Dr. Raj on our Depression Blue Monday show a few weeks ago that depression only takes around 2 weeks to actually kick in. So it doesn't really take a lot for this start setting in. So you've got self-esteem, confidence, self-worth, hopelessness, depression, anxiety, stress, and all of these different things may have been going on all at the same time. So really, it's quite a perfect storm of different issues that aren't necessarily being supported by all of these different shares and all of these different things that are going on outside of her life.
Well, there are some things that people can put in place if they want to kind of support somebody else or support themselves. And we're going to be talking about more about that after Tom Walker, Better Half for Me, which is on the way for you right after this. Yeah, we're all swaying along here in the studio. Very nice. Tom Walker and Better Half of Me on MKFM. This MK Mental Health Hour, talking all about the news, media and your mental health, with John from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Rochelle from Rochelle White Agency. So we've been talking about the kind of the impact that news stories can have on people's well-being and mental health. And there are some things that you can put in place, John, to kind of look after yourself and protect yourself.
Yeah, and this isn't necessarily for celebrities or anything like that, because in our own way, whether you're posting a status on Facebook or you're texting a friend or anything like that, you're putting something out there. You're putting something out there in writing or on video form that can be replicated, copied, pasted, all of this stuff. Yeah. So it's really important to consider actually what you're putting out there. But a good support system is really important. And we were sort of kind of talking amongst us that having a group of friends doesn't necessarily mean a support system. The friends that you're around you, or the people around you, they might not actually be best placed to support you. Because we've kind of all related to scenarios where there's been people in our lives that aren't actually supportive.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult to kind of identify them. And usually it gets worse before it gets better. It's one of those kind of situations. But especially if you're looking to reach out, if you do have an issue or you want to talk about some concerns that you have, it's really, you'll quickly find out who is actually in your friend group who is supportive and who isn't. It doesn't mean they can't be your friends.
No.
It just means that you need to be selective with what you share and what you talk to them about. Because especially in some of the cases that we've talked about today, Rochelle, around celebrities and around people of influence. You said about yes people.
Yeah, I think sometimes it doesn't really matter. I think whether you're a celebrity or whether or not, a lot of people have yes people around them. So if there's someone calling them out on what they're doing, they'll sort of just go, yeah, that's fine, or yeah, that's fine, or think about, you know, maybe the person that you're letting down, or if you're famous, the people, the fans, the company, the business, the sponsorship, the list is pretty much endless. So then that person is not a person, they're basically viewed as a brand or a moneymaker. And going back to what you just said about, you know, sharing stuff, I think it doesn't matter whether you are famous or whether you're a normal person. I'm a strong believer that don't put things out there that are going to fuel a fire or that you don't want people to pick up on. Unfortunately, again, we do live in very much of a sharing society. And if you put one thing out there, whether it's good, whether it's bad, that one nugget can lead to endless amount of either abuse, ridicule, or judgment. You know, if you're posting that you go to certain places all the time and that you're shopping all the time, you bought a new car, people are not going to see it as, oh, well done, hun, or well done, you're doing really well. They're going to go, well, they're braggy, they're rich. You don't know, that could lead to them being broken into, people then judging you for just basically doing certain things.
Yeah.
I say to people, you know, only put out there what you're happy to have out there, and try not to overshare. That's like the biggest thing, and I think anyone can take that advice.
And it is really important to kind of put some tools and strategies in place as well, John.
Yeah, absolutely. So with tools and strategies, what we're kind of referring to are things that you can turn to if you are on a bad day, or you're feeling particularly vulnerable, or you're feeling anxious, or like we said about the paranoid side of things, if you're overthinking things a bit too much. It's really important to look into some different tools that you can use to stem that, so that it doesn't have that like kind of snowball effect.
Exactly.
So you've got a really good support system around you that actually support you. You've got tools and strategies that you can personally do. And then if you're kind of taking a preventative stance, if you're looking at getting into YouTubing or anything like that, then really considering what you're putting out there can really begin to kind of help.
Absolutely. Well, some really Thanks, great Michelle. Tips and advice. Thank you both. It's been a really fascinating hour.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's been absolutely brilliant. We're going to do a very quick roundup next of a few of the top tips from this evening after Ollie Mears and Travie McCoy. This is Wrapped Up on MKFM. Ollie Mears and Travie McCoy wrapped up on MKFM. So, John, a quick roundup on this evening. We've been talking all about news, media and mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's an awful lot that we share, I share, everyone shares, but consider what you are sharing. Is it going to be helping people? And if you are going to get into anything that could be considered in the public eye, well, no matter what level, if you're going to be A-class celebrity one day, or if you're going to start making some YouTube videos or Instagram or anything like that, consider what you're putting out there. Is it actually helping people? And one thing that we've done this month in our blog on our website is, if people are going through their news feeds or anything like that, and if you're following people, are you following them because you want their life, or are you following them because they add to yours? So consider that as you're going through and unfollow people that are unhelpful. And it's the same for people around you. So if you've got a support network and there are friends or people in that aren't supportive and are just saying yes because they want you to become more popular, which helps them, then it doesn't necessarily help in the long run.
No.
Have tools and strategies in place that you can turn to improve and look after your mental health. And just really consider what you're putting out there. If you don't have those tools or strategies, then we are the place to come. So our one-to-one mentoring, self-refer, we're a mental health and emotional support service in Milton Keynes, children, young people and adults. And we have less than a week turnaround for appointments.
And if people want to find out more details, John, how can they do that?
Yeah, it's arthurellismhs.com.
Fantastic. And thank you so much to Rochelle White from Rochelle White Agency. It's been a pleasure speaking to you this evening. If people want to find out more about the work that you do, how can they do that?
On my website, which is just rochellewhiteagency.com.
Brilliant. Well, thank you both so much for this evening. I know, obviously, we've been speaking quite a lot about Caroline Flack. And I suppose one of the other things we should probably add is, if you don't have something nice to say about something, then probably keep it to yourself and be kind.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very, very important.
Be kind.
Exactly. Well, join us at the same time, 7 o'clock next Sunday, for another MK Mental Health Hour.
The MK Mental Health Hour and MKFM.